You're listening to World Oil Deep Dive, conversations with energy industry leaders and engineers about the market trends and technologies shaping the oil and gas industry. Now, here's this week's episode.
We're here with Baker Hughes at their Western Hemisphere Education Center in Tomball, Texas, to discuss how to improve hydrocarbon production while reducing water-related costs with water conformance. Baker Hughes has a new approach to solve your water challenges by optimizing water-to-oil ratios during any stage of your well's life cycle. Joining us for today's podcast is Akshay Singh, Global Product Line Director, Production Enhancement. Hey, Akshay, tell us about yourself and the role you played in developing Baker Hughes water conformance systems.
Hey, thank you, Craig. Thank you, World Oil, also for having us over. So ultimately, what we're trying to do at Production Enhancement is address the concerns that are associated to water conformance, starting from addressing them in mature reservoirs to also prepping the well that may be in the midlife or early life cycles. So it was always important for us to come up with a solution that was going to be selective enough for the customer to be able to simulate, and which is what basically drove us to developing solutions that could be reversed out if not necessary, or to be were able to differentiate between the flow of oil and water. And ultimately, what led to the full-on production of our RPM systems was the fact that other systems in the market today don't work well, sometimes do not last as long, which requires reintervention. So keeping those two key properties in mind is what helped us kind of give us focus towards our water conformance portfolio. Now, as Baker Hughes, we have been in the water conformance industry for a long time. And through the 90s, we saw a lot of technology has been brought forward. And then there was a mid area where it disappeared. So this was the opportunity for us to go back to it and redevelop that, bringing the voice of the customer in early in product development and to be able to deliver a product that could be easily deployed in the field as we already have acceptance from the customer. So keeping all of those together is how we developed our new RPM systems.
Great. Excellent, Akshay. Next, please give us some input on why Baker Hughes is focusing so much attention on water production. It seems logical that operators should be concentrating on maximizing ultimate oil recovery instead.
Well, addressing the water conformance issues always will ultimately help you with your EUR, right? Because you're extending the life of the well instead of going in and abandoning those wells that would have initially watered out. Now you're giving the customer the ability to elongate the life cycle of that well and be able to get more oil out of the reservoir. Now, that being said, if you look at the ratio of water to oil, it's 7 barrels of water to compared to 1 barrel of oil being produced in the U.S. When you take that to the North Sea, it's about 55 to 1. So what does that mean economic-wise? That means we're spending about $40 billion in the industry just for disposing and treating of that water.
I see.
Right? So This is where the focus comes in to be able to not only reduce your disposal costs, but reduce the amount of barrels of water that are being produced for each barrel of oil, but also be able to go back and stimulate those wells and increase EUR by producing more hydrocarbons out of the maturing assets that you currently have across the globe.
I see. That's great input, Akshay. Thanks for that. What technologies does Baker Hughes use to solve the global water conformance challenge, and what's the approach?
So when you look at water conformance, it's slightly different than, let's say, stimulation, right? All of them are getting more and more specific to the reservoir, but everything starts at the reservoir itself. So it is extremely important to understand the reservoir and where the water is actually coming from. So as Baker Hughes, instead of working in silos, we are actually coming up with the matrix solutions where we bring in expertise that are now living within the production enhancement segment, right? So what we have is we go hand in hand with RTS people, which are our reservoir technical simulation people, and they go ahead, they get the customer data, they're able to then understand the source of water and the flow of water. Okay, so understanding the source and flow of water will then help us design the optimal solution. Now, for production enhancement, these are mostly chemical solutions, but as a Baker Hughes portfolio, we also have mechanical solutions, right? We have dump floods, we have intelligent valves, and sometimes those are probably going to be the right solution for that reservoir. So you start at the reservoir, you understand the source of water, then you're able to see if Aquacut or any other chemical solution might be the best solution for that water conformance issue. Now, when we start getting into the chemical solutions, it is extremely critical to understand, again, is the zone completely watered out, or do you still have the ability to produce a little bit of hydrocarbon, right? So if the zone is completely watered out is when you start looking at non-selective solutions such as Silgel and ZoneSafe, which are basically our permanent solutions, right? And then for the zones that have the ability to do commingled flow still, that may be high water cut, that's where AquaCut comes in. And AquaCut is then able to, basically being a polymer and being a relative permeability modifier, it is able to then differentiate its form, basically manipulate its form in the presence of hydrocarbon or in the presence of water. What that basically means is AquaCut itself is, in the presence of oil, will kind of swell up within the pores of where it's been placed and then create, the tail of the molecule also creates a drag force across the water phase that's coming in. And then at the same time, it is able to water wet the formation, which basically impedes the flow of water, right? So in three ways overall, we're able to reduce your subsurface water production. Now, as the flow changes to oil, which it usually does, and your oil phase hits the polymer itself, the polymer instantly doesn't lie down. It just becomes non-reactive. So the flow of oil is able to push it back to the surface of the rock, and then it's being able to produce through the wellbore. So overall, cutting again the subsurface water production, keeping your water in the reservoir and producing more oil.
Excellent explanation. Thanks for that, Akshay. You know, you've talked on the chemical aspect of water conformance. Now, can you tell us what techniques does Baker Hughes apply to tackle the challenge of increasing water production?
Let me jump in here for a quick reminder. Be sure to join us for the Gulf Energy Information Excellence Awards on October 11, 2023, at the Post Oak Hotel in Houston, Texas. This premier black tie gala highlights advancements and leadership in the global energy industry. Network, celebrate, and register at gulfenergyinfo.com/events.
So when you're looking at techniques, right, again, techniques become extremely important, and it comes to the placement of the solution, right? So as the wells are getting more horizontal, as the wells are getting multiple zones, not each zone is going to be producing the same way, right? But then again, you do not want to abandon all your zones. So sometimes now you're going to be looking at hybrid solutions. You may want to look at a mechanical full abandonment of that zone while treating a lower zone where you still have the ability to produce more hydrocarbon with a chemical treatment, right? Or you may go with a hybrid selective and non-selective treatment when it comes to chemicals. Right? So application is extremely key to the entire success of a water conformance job. Now, if you look at the early 90s to mid 90s, even I would say about 97, 98, RPMs were a very effective form of water conformance. Now, what happened, we asked, right? What happened between then and now? So if you look at it, then RPM started getting a bad reputation. And why was that? It's because the operating window was being abused, right? So RPMs, again, being a polymer, work within a specific operating window. Now, at that point, what happened was we were seeing such good results in the beginning that we started placing RPM in wells that weren't really meant for an RPM type solution. And we started doing more and more of that. So once that happens, the solution itself gets a bad reputation and people tend to move away from it. So what we did at Baker Hughes was looking at that operating window and looking at the aspects of what drove people away from it was to come back and come up with a solution that would actually increase that operating window, give them a little bit more flexibility, and allow them to place it in the well and walk away from it and not thinking, hey, I have to come back and do it again in 4 to 6 months. Now, every well is different. I get it, right? Even with AquaCut, we may have to go back and re-intervene because it is an intervention technology. So, but the ultimately, the point that I'm trying to make here is when it comes to the technique of applying an RPM, for at least for us, for AquaCut solution, you want to make sure you prep the reservoir first, right? Because this technology differentiates itself on the longevity of application. The way it does that is that it has the ability to attach to the rock rather than adsorb, which is what most of the other RPMs do today. So in the process of adsorption, all you're doing is creating a thin film on the reservoir, right? But with AquaCut, it actually has a chemical reaction at the rock level and creates a bond, right? That's what allows it to attach and be there through the life cycle of the well and be able to withstand, you know, different velocities of water that may be coming through. Now, in order to do that, you want to make sure that you stay within that operating window of what the defined temperature is, which for us in the case of AquaCut is up to 250 F, and in case of AquaCut Plus it's going to be about 300 degrees F, right? And then at the same time, you want to come in with the pre-flush package, which kind of goes in and preps the reservoir for you. So what it ultimately does is strips the rock clean of any asphaltenes, paraffins, or any other impurity, and exposes those rock particles to be now ready for AquaCut treatment, right? You go ahead, you place the AquaCut, you shut in the well, leave it alone for 10 to 14 hours, and then you put the well back on production and see how the well does. Now, ultimately, the technique of placing an AquaCut treatment, you want to start with one well, you learn from it, adapt from it, go to the next well, especially in your mature asset, right? Because you will see an immediate impact on the first well, but what you want to do is do it better on the second, third, fourth in the same field. That way you are really impacting, as you started off the question in this interview, right? Why not EOR? That is what's going to help your EOR. That is what will give you the real impact on your EOR, is to take it field-wide rather than just specific wells in different reservoirs.
I see. Thanks for that explanation on the pilot project and path moving forward. And you've talked about selective and non-selective chemical solutions. Can you expand on that for us and help define the differentiations?
Absolutely. So if you look at selective and non-selective solutions, right? So both have their place when it comes to addressing subsurface water production. Now, selective solution basically means that they do not differentiate between the type of flow, whether it's hydrocarbon or water. Once you place them in the well, they will shut off all production for that zone. In our case, we have temporary solutions, we have reversible solutions, and we have permanent solutions. Okay, so for the ones that you really want to abandon and don't ever want to go back and touch again, we have, like I mentioned before, Zone Safe and Silgel. Now, you have to be extremely sure that you want to place this product into your well, because once placed, it cannot be reversed out. It is not acid soluble, and with the zonal invasion that you get from these chemicals, you're not going to be able to reperf through them, right? So basically means you're going to abandon that zone. That being said, we also have acid-soluble ultra-fine cement solutions that we have carry on a portfolio for temporary isolations. Now, selective solutions, which in our cases are a family of AquaCut products, they are able to differentiate and manipulate form, whether in the presence of hydrocarbon or water, right? And from the core flood studies that we have run tests on across the street from where we are sitting today, we are able to see that that change of form or that response is very quick. Right, it's almost instantaneous. That being said, a customer took basically our RPM product and several other that were available in the market, took him to a third-party lab, and basically what they did there, how we do our testing for core flood to see the difference between oil and water is we take a core, we go ahead and treat it with AquaCut, and then we go and see how much regain permeability of that you're getting prior and post the treatment of AquaCut, right? So you take your baseline, you see what the permeability of water is, what the permeability of hydrocarbon is, right? And then you go ahead and place the AquaCut treatment. Then you go back and remeasure the regain permeability. So what we are usually seeing is, in the case where AquaCut is being applied, we're seeing in our labs a reduction of about 90% plus in regain of water permeability. And the regain permeability to oil, in this case hydrocarbon, is coming back up to 90%. Okay, and it's always increasing. We just call the test for the sake of time, right? But what you see is once you bring the regain permeability of water down, it remains constant from, let's say, down about 92%, and it stays constant there, where it's always increasing, which is basically saying that the polymer is able to transform and stop water production while gives you the regain permeability back to oil. Now, when the customer took that, when they did their testing, what they did was instead of simultaneous injection, they did a commingled injection, which is also a very valid testing point, right? Because then you're able to understand what if water and oil phase are hitting it at the same time. Long story short, post-testing, they were able to say that AquaCut was the top-performing chemical for that core, specific to the testing environment that it was run in, to give the result as a relative permeability modifier that was giving them a better regain permeability to oil and holding back water. So which is where I feel like we were making advances in the true selective feature of AquaCut.
I see you mentioned AquaCut several times in our talk here, and it's clear that it's a major contributor to water conformance solution. Can you tell us what differentiates AquaCut from your traditional relative permeability modifiers available on the market today?
Very good question, right? So RPMs are not a new technology, like I mentioned, right? So they were being run very successfully in the early 90s to the mid-90s. We walked away from it because we truly, as an industry, abused what RPMs were supposed to be doing. Now, when it took us about, I want to say, close to 6 years to come out with this product, and a lot of testing had gone in, and basically, we wanted to differentiate in the way that would add value to the customer. So the three things that we kept in mind was concentration of the polymer that we're going to be running, because ultimately it is a polymer that you're running, right? And with polymers, the customer is always very hesitant on the amount you want to put in your reservoir, because it does have some secondary damage mechanisms, right? So we wanted to make sure that we're able to keep that concentration of polymer low while giving enough effect to stop the subsurface water production. Number two is longevity of application. AquaCut is a product that allows you to keep your water subsurface and not allow it to produce, right? So ultimately, not only is it impacting your hydrocarbon production, but it's also impacting your net carbon reduction that is associated to transport, treatment, and disposal of water, and also reintervention, right? Because more, like I've mentioned, most of the RPMs in the market today have the adsorption property. So when that happens is, with that simple coat that it forms on the rock, it is flown back a lot easier, which means you have to go back and intervene a lot quicker, which means, again, bringing out a horsepower spread, getting a rig or work over on location or whatever it is, the way that you're going to do it. And you're going to be, again, consuming more hydrocarbon to create more hydrocarbon, right? So you're going to be not be able to address your net carbon reduction goals. With AquaCut, we are then able to increase that intervention period. In my mind, you will still have to go back and intervene sometime depending on the reservoir. For example, the first well that we pumped in October of 2020 that resulted in about, I want to say, 700 plus barrels of water reduction and doubling oil production in that well is still holding to date 3 years later, which is an extreme success story for us. And lucky for us, that was well number one for us, right? And then the last one is, of course, going to be the ability for AquaCut to be able to outperform in a commingled flow situation, right? So now that you have addressed the longevity aspect with the chemical bonding being in the rock for a longer time, you want to be able to make sure that it is able to perform not just in simultaneous flow, but also in commingled flow, which was, again, proven by not just our testing across the street, but by customer testing. So that's what, in my mind, really differentiates AquaCut.
Well, that was great that you got a home run right out of the box there. It certainly helps everything.
I would give it to scientific deduction rather than luck, but yes.
Exactly. Yes. Hey, we've talked a lot about how RPMs were used in the past and were abandoned, and now you're bringing them back into the market. What's going to be different this time around?
Again, this time around is going to be more scientific approach. We have to be extremely cognizant of the fact that every reservoir is different, every well is different, every water flow scenario is different, right? It's not a one solution fix all application, right? So this is where the conversation of having our subject matter experts understand their tank models, and don't get me down on that road because, you know, I'll get lost. I'll basically have a nerd out moment here. But, but to have the ability of having those folks on your team to be talking to the customers and really getting the reservoir data, consuming it, understanding the flow of the water, the source of the water. And then that then transforms into my application team that turns on, right? These are our petroleum engineers, chemical engineers that are then taking the reservoir team goes, hey, this is a great candidate for AquaCut. See if you can place it. Okay. So now we know that the operating window is correct. Now is the application window correct, right? So now we have to make sure, is it going to be a treatment that we are going to be able to place with coil tubing or bullheading with diverters, right? Depending on how big those zones are, right? And then the application techniques come into place where all the petroleum engineers are talking to each other and chemical engineers talking to each other and then look at the completions and say, okay, now we have a design that we think works. A design is not just AquaCut. A design is a pre-flush, which is going to get the reservoir ready for you, the placement of AquaCut and the diversion of AquaCut if necessary in, let's say, multi-zone or horizontals, right? And that approach, that scientific approach is what is going to be key for us to deliver a successful deployment of RPM 3 years to come. Now, when you start looking at what happens after you place AquaCut, then we start talking again, being in a Baker Hughes environment where we have such a good artificial lift product line. Then the customer goes, hey, you know what? I've got water production here. I want to address it. But what is the operating window that I can place these pumps on, right? So that's where now pressure pumping, production enhancement gets together with production solutions and goes to the customer with a combined solution. This is what we say your drawdown across your reservoir should be. So make sure you're optimizing your pumps to that so that you're not negating the effect of AquaCut. So understanding reservoir, application, post-application, production optimization. Those three things are going to be critical. And then ultimately is technology. We are going to be continuing to evolve this technology, taking it to higher and higher temperature, using less and less of it to give you better and better results. Because we are in an industry that's fast changing, right? And we're no longer working with rules of thumbs. Technology allowing for a better polymer in the future. And then, of course, being able to model that. So now we're not saying, hey, go 20 gallons per foot or something like that, right? Able to model it, and you're able to then place it. You're able to then produce from it. So I think that when you take the full scientific approach to it is when you're going to get a sustainable water conforming solution.
I see. You touched on the value that AquaCut's providing for operators past in some of your case studies. Can you expand on that and tell us what value it's adding for your customers as well?
Absolutely. So voice of customer is extremely important for us when we do product development, right? So what we do is we go reach out to the customer initially to first understand what is their issue, what is that they're trying to address. And then ultimately that results in a faster deployment of product and faster successful deployment of product. So for us, when they look at AquaCut, now we have pumped it, what about, I want to say 50 plus wells at least, right? Since its conception. And what we're seeing then is the value is not just subsurface water reduction. The value is also, so let me be very clear here, right? AquaCut is a water conformance product. It does not create new permeability. That does not mean you're going to always get better oil production. It's just making sure it's holding back water. But a really good side effect of that, added value of that, is that you get incremental oil production. So off the 50 wells that we have pumped to date, we have never impacted the hydrocarbon production in a negative way. It's always been either better or close to initial.
Great point.
All right. And then AquaCut itself will always address the subsurface water production. So the second level of value that it adds to the customer is allowing them to go back and re-simulate wells. Because if you think about it, when you acidize or fracture a reservoir, especially a brownfield well, you're always going to be very, conservative in that approach. You will think about it 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, because every time you do create new permeability through a stimulation method, you are not only creating new permeability for oil, but you're also creating new permeability for water. So in that case, what happens is, yes, you may get some incremental production on oil, but you get an exponential increase of water. Now, at Baker Hughes, what we call conform acid and conform frac application is we bring in AquaCut to be a part of that acidizing or fracturing solution. So what that allows our customer to do is to basically go simulate that well, and then you go ahead and place in the AquaCut treatment. And then this, I'm talking about acidizing, right? So in certain wells that we saw in Colombia where we piloted the AquaCut with and then took it to the entire field, was the fact that post-acidizing job where we would see exponential increase in water, in this case, when we started putting AquaCut as a part of the acidizing application, what we were seeing was exponential increase in oil, but 20% reduction from the initial state, which is basically saying you have stimulated the well, but you're reducing the water production by 20% from the initial state, not post-stimulation state, but initial state, which was extremely favorable for the customer. So that really opened up the new horizon for AquaCut to be a part of stimulation treatment. Then we were saying, okay, now what about fracturing, right? So now we started placing AquaCut in fracturing treatment. Now there's specific techniques you use, right? You either go in the front end of the frac or the tail end of the frac. There's different techniques that we'd use depending on the reservoir. Again, similar results. You're seeing a better production of hydrocarbon and a lesser production of water. That being said, AquaCut can also be placed in gas wells. It's not just oil. The testing has proven to date that we have impacted the regain permeability to water in the presence of gas and keep the regain permeability of gas really high. So those are the ways I feel the customer is now getting the true value add after RPM treatment. It's not just straight water conformance. It's a combination of water conformance and stimulation techniques to really impact your hydrocarbon production.
You know, you talked about how you working with your customer before the frack or the stimulation occurs. Is that something different now with production chemicals that Baker Hughes is doing to make sure that everything's done correctly and get in the early stages?
Absolutely. I mean, anything today is going to be a scientific approach. We are moving away from rules of thumbs. Our simulation models are getting better. We are getting more precise. We are getting more accurate. Same thing with our chemicals or production enhancement techniques. We are talking to upstream chemicals. Again, being in a Baker Hughes environment where we have specific product lines, like if I'm coming out with the acidizing treatment, I will borrow stuff from production chemicals, right? Of course, because they have a lot more that I can take in. I can then focus on the frac fluid. I can focus on the acid fluid because I know OIC is working on something that I could possibly take on. And if you look at aquacut treatment, same way. My pre-flush treatments are more than likely going to come from production chemicals from Baker Hughes, from OIC, is basically taking that and then incorporating it to make it a good, viable solution. We want to make sure we're able to leverage every single liver that we have in Baker Hughes to give a customer the solution that they want.
It's a great point and a real differentiator for Baker Hughes, for sure. What's next for water conformance? What's the next gen or what do you guys got cooking?
So we've got, as I mentioned, we championed the sandstone version, right? We have now AquaCut Plus that can work in both carbonates and sandstones. And we have increased the operating window, the operating temperature from 250 degrees Fahrenheit to 300 degrees Fahrenheit, which now you're looking at hot carbonates in the Middle East, which we weren't able to address in the past. So that's coming now. The generation after that is going to be, I can't get into it just yet because the IP is being filed, but ultimately will be, again, going back, increasing that operating window where you can place this and using less and less of it.
So you got AquaCut and you got AquaCut Plus.
Yes,
is there one to sandstone or a specific and the next one's a carbonate? Is there some fine tuning going on there?
So correct. So what we wanted to do was address sandstone first because we thought that was the one that we could tackle. Because as you know, carbonates, the placement is going to be critical. It's not that the polymer won't work. It's just because sometimes you have tight injectivity up front with natural fractures in the back. So if you really want to create a positive impact in a successful launch and to build credibility, you want to make sure you go after a reservoir that will allow you to do so, which is why we took sandstone first to make sure that it is not a placement technique that gives the bad reputation. We can say the polymer works. And then we took it to carbonate because we know the placement technique is going to be a little bit more trickier.
Great point.
So, and now when we took it to carbonates, we wanted to make sure that we come up with a product that works both. So now you're able to go after dirty carbonates that have some sandstones in it. So ultimately, the goal was to always evolve and again, increase that operating window for this. And of course, when you're looking at carbonates, you want to make sure you're going up to 300F because most carbonates today in the Middle East, at least, are going to be at that operating temperature. So you want to make sure the polymer stays in place.
I see.
And then, of course, with application-wise, we have, now that we're getting so comfortable with AquaCut, we're foaming it up, we're putting it in, we're replacing with acid, we're replacing with fracturing, you know. Now is the fun time. Now that we have built the credibility with it, now we're starting to play with it. Again, not by rules of thumbs, but methodological approach, scientific approach to it.
Excellent overview, Akshay. Thanks for that. We're sitting here in your Western Hemisphere Education Center in Tomball, Texas. This facility or some of your R&D labs in this area used to develop water conformance and AquaCut Plus?
Right. So where we're sitting at today is our training center, right? And as you can see outside, right, there is a training rig out there, which is where we...
Very nice yard. Very extensive, indeed.
Yeah. And look how clean it is, right?
Beautiful.
Yeah. So
looks good.
This is where we train our employees to basically get them ready for the field, right? Because, and this is a very critical point to understand, because you can have the best technology in the field, but unless you have the right training and you have the right service delivery, unless you're consistent with your service delivery, you're not going to be able to gain the credibility to place any new technologies, right? Now, the product itself was developed in the Pressure Pumping Technology Center that's right across the street. That's our HQ labs. We have Core Flood set up there, which is where we developed the application of AquaCut. About 5 to 6 years of hard work from multiple scientists across the street, and hopefully we'll get a chance to show you guys around there too. So that's where the think tank of production enhancement sits.
Love
we always take in,
mm-hmm.
we take in ideas from the field and we develop at them.
Excellent. Thanks for that. Before we close up, is there any other thoughts or comments you want to share with the audience before we wrap?
Oh, absolutely. So like I said, we are in a position right now in the industry, right, where brownfields are a real thing, maturing assets are a real thing, and we want to make sure that we continue to address those, continue to come out with solutions that are not just low cost, but high value. Now, the customer is understanding that too. They just, because they know if you just put commodity chemicals in there, you're going to get commoditized results. They want more out of their reservoirs, and which is why becoming a partner of choice is very, very critical. That being said, I had touched base before, right? Unless we are able to do, you're not going to become the partner of choice unless you're able to do safe, reliable, consistent service every time. And that's how we add value, is safe, reliable, consistent service through technology.
Perfect.
And creating value. Yes, sir.
Well, thanks, Akshay, for inviting us out here and showing us your beautiful facility here at Baker Hughes and telling us all about water conformance and value of AquaCut Plus.
Yes, sir. And no, thank you for having us, Craig, and I mean, hosting us, Craig, and we'd love to do this again sometimes.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to our show. Please check out the show notes for the links we discussed in the podcast. We value your opinions, so if you have any questions or comments, kindly email them to us at deepdive@worldoil.com. Additionally, we'd appreciate it if you could rate us on your preferred podcast listening app. Lastly, don't forget to visit worldoil.com for the latest technical articles and news about the oil and gas industry.